B-Pod Studios.
Tim McManus, covering Eagles for ESPN.com. And the Midweek Report is brought to us by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing and abuse. Remember, Rosenbaum, more than two decades helping our community. Timmy Mack, in the middle of a week, not much buzz for this Eagles game. Are the fans a little nervous about this game? Is that what you're getting?
I think they know that it's a pretty tough task for this team. Now, the Eagles have had success against Minnesota, a lot of that coming at home. But recognize, you know, being without DeSean Jackson, going on the road against a good defense, one of the best running backs in the NFL, good complement of wide receivers. I think that there's probably energy that's going to build up for this game. But, yeah, overconfidence probably not on the docket this week.
All right. So, you know, they're going to contend with some skill players, obviously. And but they're number one against the run. So, you know, Dalvin Cook's not going to go wild, is he? So, I mean, this is a matter of getting Cousins into the long downs and letting him make mistakes like he usually does. Isn't that the simple game plan?
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. And Fletcher Cox was just talking at his locker stall a few minutes ago about how this defense likes when you get a running opponent, because not only it plays into what they do best as a defense, but also because they know it's going to be a physical game. They know that the defensive line is going to be in the spotlight, and that's exactly how they like it. If Cousins isn't effective in passes, especially early, then I think it turns into that kind of game that you're talking about, Mike, where, you know, they try to run. It's strength on strength, and the Eagles are able to kind of hang on and get Cousins into those third and unfavorables. You know, the way that it goes the other way on this team, I think, is that if Cousins does find some success through the air, and certainly, you know, opponents have been able to do that to this point, he does have a couple good weapons at his disposal, and that loosens up the ground game, that's where they get into trouble. So they just, you know, they have to, I think that they're going to take care of their business initially on the ground. They'll get loosened up if they can't take care of their business on the back end. That's the key to me.
All right, what do you take from, it's hard to get any take from last week's game. What were the good things and what were the bad things, if any, that you could spot out of last week's game?
I think defensively, the fact that Fletcher Cox was looking a little bit more like himself. He was joking today that he's like, you know, I wish I had a sack. Can I buy a sack somewhere? Like, I'm not used to not having any sacks at this point in my career. But he was getting credit from a couple of his fellow players and also coaches influencing some of those sacks and interceptions that happen. So I do feel like he's starting to come on a little bit more. That would probably be the big takeaway. And I also think that beyond Brandon Graham having favorable matchups, I think that he is starting to play at a high level and that Jim Schwartz is using him inside now, just something he probably should have been doing all along. You know, that I think we'll see moving forward. And then offensively, I think it's right to be a little bit concerned about what this offense looks like without DeSean Jackson. You know, they've dropped all the way down to 22nd in the NFL in passing plays of 20-plus yards. They started out like gangbusters when Jackson was in. It's been just this kind of plodding offense, you know, with some good things happening on the ground. But they have to find some way to make these explosive plays happen because, you know, they're not going to have Jackson in this game, and they're going to need to find ways to put some points on the board.
So what do you think those ways are? I mean, the easy thing is that Aguilar has to contribute a little bit. He's not contributing at all. They're not even targeting him. But Alshon's not getting you know, off that much either. And, you know, Mac Hollins seems to be inferior. So what do they really have? What can we expect?
Yeah, well, I think, number one, coaching. I think that that Peterson did a good job 2 weeks ago of scheming up, you know, some big play opportunities for them. There's a couple that were available last week, but Aguilar wasn't able to come down with it. I mean, there were some penalties involved. There would be penalties involved. You know, so I think that you have to try to go back to the well with Aguilar a little bit and see, like, to me, this is, you know, I circle him in this game. And it's got to come from somewhere. And I don't think it's coming from Jeffrey on these, like, you know, I don't think he's got that burner speed right now. So I think that Aguilar is really the guy that has to get it done. You know, and otherwise, you know, Miles Sanders has turned into a nice weapon out of the backfield in the passing game. So maybe you dial up one or two of those wheel routes, see if you can get them in space that way.
There are a lot of people that, and I don't know that it's feasible at all, but a lot of people is saying, why won't they try Miles Sanders in the slot? And it's, I try to explain it, but it's hard to throw a guy into a position that he doesn't know, and because there's a lot of intricacies you have to know to play that position. But is that discussed ever?
I think that they'll go with that look where they take him out of the backfield and line him up along the line, which can be effective, but you know, the reason that you don't just line somebody up at a running back as a slot receiver is even somebody like Darren Sproles, you become very limited in the amount of routes that you're able to run from that formation. Like, receivers are working that all the time. They have intricate knowledge of that position. Running back, you have a completely different focus. And so, you know, your knowledge of the whole, the route tree and the, you know, the intricacies of the system from a wide receiver standpoint just aren't there for you. So that's why you can't do it too much. But, you know, they'll mess with some looks that way to try to throw Minnesota off, I'm sure, like they have in previous weeks.
All right, the secondary. Now, they're going to be facing some pretty decent skill position players. And listen, this quarterback can get the ball down the field. So we got Rasul Douglas and Scandrick. Is Sidney Jones going to be playing, and is he going to help? Like, and what's the status on Jalen Mills?
So every week it seems like Sidney Jones is a question related to whether he's going to be available and how that hamstring is. I mean, it's just been an ongoing saga for this guy. But he was a full participant today. So that is a good signal that he is going to be available for this game. I think that the best case scenario for them, is a healthy Sidney Jones opposite Rasul Douglas with Orlando Scandrick working in the slot. And, you know, Scandrick played pretty well in that game. And, you know, talking to him this week, you know, it turns out that there was a miscommunication between Howie Roseman and, Scandrick's agent, that led to him not being back on this roster week two. You know, so maybe he could have helped before. That's kind of an undertold story. But I think the fact that he is back now, veteran presence, did well operating out of the nickel position last week, I think that he can be a boost for you. As far as Jalen Mills goes, there seem to be positive signals that he can return to practice once he's eligible to, which is after he, you know, the PUP eligibility week six. So, you know, but he's been on ice for like a year. So whether he's able to jump right back into the action remains to be seen. But they're at least optimistic that he can get back on the practice field as soon as he's eligible.
Did you get the impression, I know sometimes we read into things, but sometimes words can make you read into things. Did you get the impression that Doug Peterson is not that happy with the availability of Sidney Jones?
I didn't really. That wasn't my takeaway. I was kind of more thinking it from the standpoint of him talking about him having to push through, talking about sort of the confidence level that you have to be attentive towards when you have a guy that's been injured all that much. So, and I don't think that Peterson's like of the stance that he needs to put pressure on this guy right now. I think, you know, what they probably need to do is try to support him, lift him up, and make him as confident as possible. So that wasn't my read, but maybe I wasn't as in tune to it as because so a couple people have mentioned that, but I just that's not kind of where my ear was tuned towards when he said that.
All right. How'd you feel about the three-point shot that Ben Simmons made last night?
I loved it. That's awesome. I loved how people reacted like it was a game-winning shot, you know, in the NBA Finals, and how Embiid came running over to him and everybody was egging him on. I mean, it was tremendous theater. Are you kidding me?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.